Blog Talk Radio.
I'll go find a network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Well, it used to be easy to get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're gonna use some common sense and we're gonna take back our country. Well, they've beaten to death that whole race horse. This politically correct thing has run its course. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Divorces from showing them bangs.
Why don't you mind your own business?
That's good advice.
Mind your own business.
Dad got it right.
But if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine.
Every sign says for sale, for lease. Price reduced. Make an offer, please. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're gonna take back our country. There's no way today we could build Boulder Dam. There'd be way too many government permit scams. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for the good news? We're gonna take back this country. Barack, pack your bags, head to Chicago. Take your trailer prompted with you so you'll know where to go.
So move it all over.
It was an accident. I thought it was the other version of Big Dog Moving In that I had, and it was the political one. So I do apologize. That is one rule that we do have on this show, that we do not discuss politics. However, it's just the opening, and it gives time for people to get into the chat room. You know, that's why I start playing longer and longer songs. And in any event, we do have some things to talk about tonight. The NFL training camps are underway. So we've got some things to talk about with that. And the new Washington football team has a new owner. And it's gone through, and now there are, the owner has hinted at name changes. Well, there are top five name changes, and I want to cover these. I've got all five of them. Some of them are actually kind of interesting. One of them, I know I do, and I know Seth is going to appreciate, which is the last one that I'll read. But, you know, there's a couple of them that are kind of like, you know, kind of intriguing because it's football. So anyway, I'll get into that because, you know, if I keep talking, then I'm just going to let it out. And if I let it out, then, you know, it spoils everything. So anyway, moving on, we're going to cover all of those. Cole Beasley is now joining the Giants for a one-year deal, which is going to be returning him with his old coach that he had in Buffalo. So we'll find out how that works. It's a one-year deal. Viper is telling me that did he call the right number? Well, let me give him the right number. And if you do want, if you're out there listening, if you do want to call call the show, it is 563-999-3496. 3496. So that is the number if you want to get on board. Hopefully, Viper, you call in because I do want to cover those team names. Anyway, Seth is going to have This Week in Sports, which is always good. I love This Week in Sports. It's a little discombobulated today because the opening credits came out, or the opening song came out, the wrong song that I picked. But anyway, you know, this is what you do. When things go down, you recover. And that's what good teams do. And this is a team. We're a crew and we're a team. And when we go down, well, we got to find a way to pick ourselves up. You know, like, you know, in baseball, like you make a really stupid error out of the field and cost a run. So what do? Well, when it's your time to, you know, get up to bat, well, you knock in a 2-3 run dinger and say, yeah, there you go. You make up for it. So anyway, hopefully Viper does get aboard, and he's going to talk about Netflix quarterback. I still haven't had a chance to see it, but I am intrigued in it, and I'll probably end up watching it tonight. So Viper says he's here. Oh, I thought that is Viper. I thought that was Seth. So anyway, let's get on board here anyway. So let's bring Viper on board. Viper, my good friend. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, good to be here.
Hey, sorry about that. I've got both of the numbers because I only know the numbers the last four digits. And so I got everybody on here. For whatever reason, I thought it was Seth. I thought you had, we're calling in later. But anyway, let me bring this up. Did you hear about the names, the new names for the now Commodores, or whatever the hell you call them?
I haven't heard the name options, but I did read the article that one of the principal owners, former Michigan State alum Magic Johnson, does have a desire to change the name, but I have not heard the options.
Well, I have the options right here. Now,
awesome.
Number five. These are the top five. And number five, this is equally as stupid as the Commanders. This is the Washington Majors. And it's like, oh, gee. Yeah, wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're playing the Majors next week. Oh, really? It must be a tough game. And then you get into some weird stuff. Now we got the Washington Red Tails. See, there's a lot of red names. There's going to be a lot of names that have red in it because they, you know, you've got that red, you know. So they've got the
right.
Washington Red Tails, which I didn't know, but that was a nickname to the famous African-American pilots, the Tuskegee Airmen. I did not know that's what I knew the Tuskegee Airmen. Everybody knows, you know, that story. But I didn't know they were called the Red
right.
Tails. Well, anyway, that was... That's kind of interesting, you know. The Washington
yeah.
Red Hogs, you know, they are, you know, the Hogs. I mean, why not just call them the Hogs? You know, they've always been the Hogs, you know. So they got the Red Hogs.
Well, yeah, back in the 80s, they had the, you know, under Joe Gibbs and They had, the offensive line were called the Hogs, right?
Yeah, well, their fans, they still, well, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to when they were the Redskins. They've been, they always had pink faces. They were sitting right behind the goalpost. There was no, the Hog Pen.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, them yep. Hogs, they took that serious, man. You know, there wasn't that many. You know, it's like the old Brooklyn Dodgers symphony. The symphony, the guys that played the drum, and there was like three of them. They had a drum and a cymbal and a, I don't know, a trumpet or something. But the Red Hogs, is, yeah, I don't know. If you got to go Red Hogs, that's too many syllables. You know what I'm saying? Just go Hogs. Call it a day. And then they got this one I kind of almost like because it is... It's dirty, it's gritty, it's old school football, it's the Washington Pigskins. I just love it. I think that would be a good name. I mean, because, you know, football, you know, you need to be dirty and you need to be, you know what I mean? You need that meanness, that, you know, in Pigskins.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and I tell you what I like about that one. That might be the best one you've mentioned so far. What I like about that one is it's kind of a play on they're able to refactor that history because Redskins, well, a lot of times they would shorten it to say the Skins.
Right.
So they can go back to that without disrupting the culture.
Right. And, you know, the football itself has a nickname of the Pigskin. Throw me the Pigskin. Because it used to be the old footballs were made out of pigskin. I don't know what they're made out of today, but, you know, and you know, just the name of a football. So you could, you know, for their logo on their helmet, could be a football. Because that's, you know, that's a pigskin. Or unless you wanted to put a pig, you know, a hog, you know, a mean hog with tusks. You got to make him look mean. You know.
Right.
But, no, I do like the Washington Pigskins.
Well, might as well be a warthog in that scenario, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Warthogs. Ooh, the Washington Warthogs. They don't have that here. But I do like the Pigskins because it's, you know, it's a little old school and it goes, you know what I'm saying? It just got, it's got a certain... Well, I would say, I wouldn't say charm, I would say discharm. Kind of like an anti-hero. Well, this has got discharm, Washington Pigskins. You know, it's got that dirty, you got a dirty mental in your head, you know, when you hear it. And that's what I love about it. Well, the last one is the Washington, D.C. Football Club. That's a little long, you know. You know what I mean? I mean,
so
that's
they're kind
a
of going, they're kind of, yeah, they're kind of playing off that that soccer theme.
And, you know, the old football team, because they were called that. So, you know, the Washington, D.C. Football Club. But, no, I mean, look, if you spent $6 billion on a team, well, it's a conglomerate, so it's not an individual, but if you're really serious about football, you're going to want them to make a, you're going to want to, you know, you're going to have to get an image. You're going to have to get a following. Now, the Raiders have a following because they're mean and they're ugly and they're just black and gray and it's dark and gloomy, and that's football. So you have a certain... You know, football is more of a mentality. You know, baseball is mental, but football is a mentality. Do you understand what I'm saying, the difference between the two? Where baseball, well, used to be before they, you know, changed all the rules, but it used to be it's very mental, whereas football is a mentality. And, but there's different mentalities. The quarterback mentality is completely different than the lineman. And they're right next to each other. The receivers are completely different than the running backs. You see what I'm saying? And defense and all of that. So, I don't know. Well, hopefully they come up with something because the Commanders, That doesn't work.
It ain't working. It ain't working.
It just sounds so... Well, I can't say the word anymore. Because if you do, you might... But it rhymes with hay. You see what I'm saying? And it just... I don't know. It just doesn't have that football, you know. It's like, well, baseball, they had the bridegrooms at one point, the Dodgers. The bridegrooms. They quickly had to change that. That's not very intimidating.
Right.
You know. And, well, they had the Robins. Yeah. They even went to the World Series. The Robins. Well, they changed that, so... But no, we'll find out.
I think of the four names, the Pigskins probably make the most sense.
It just has. If you're going to create an image in your team, you spent $6 billion, and you're going to have to create an image. You know, you're going to have to get your money back, because let's face it, Washington D.C. is not that big of a market. It really is not that big of a market. It has fair weather fans, and when the politicians lose their election, they no longer come to the ballpark. You see what I'm saying? And neither does their family. So there's a lot of fair weather fans. Some people do actually live in D.C., but a lot of D.C. people are transient. So it's nowhere near as big of a market, let's say, in New York. You see what I'm saying? Because New York, they've got diehard, you know, following. You see what I'm saying? Well, the Washington, whatever the hell they are, they don't really have that. So you've got to create something to attract people. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Well, we'll find out. Now, I do kind of like, now, this Cole Beasley, I always liked him. Then he retired, and then he came back, and he wasn't that productive. Of course, it wasn't, you know, you got, in order to be, for some of these guys to come back, you need the right situation. Like, say if Aaron Rodgers, you know, Green Bay wasn't going to do it. If he went to, like, say, Cleveland, he does not have an opportunity. He wouldn't do that. See what I'm saying? This guy, I mean, well, the Giants have got to do something because Saquon Barkley is playing all kinds of contractual games. And it's like, okay, you had one good season. That was the only season that you weren't injured. So, you know, calm down, dude. I mean, it's a little hubris, don't you think, for the price that these people are asking?
Yeah, well, with running backs, it's a little bit different. I mean, they know their shelf life is pretty limited. And, you know, they got to strike while the iron's hot. I don't disagree with your statement. I just know that that's probably what's going on. And,
No, you're absolutely right. They do have a short shelf life. And look, he had one good season, and now he wants to get paid the moon for that one good season. Well, you know, I mean, what guarantees do you have that he's going to be able to repeat? Because he's 1 year older, and he's a running back. So the Giants are thinking, well, we're going to need more weapons for Jones. So... You know, and I think Beasley, put in the right situation, can, you know, he can do some things for you. And you don't have to use him all the time, but you still got those weapons. And, hey, look, I mean, the more weapons you have, the more opportunities you have to, you know, get a direct hit, so to speak.
Right. Right. Well, I don't think there's any shortage of guys that, or teams that are looking for guys that can, you know, run good routes and get open and catch a ball. I mean, it's that's why you see all the moves that you see, and the dollars going in that position. I mean, the wide receiver has passed the running back as a key position.
Mm-hmm. And, no, you're right. And, well, look, that's why you can explain why Zeke Elliott is, well, he's going to be sitting on the couch choking on his guacamole this season. That's what he's going to be doing on Sundays. I don't think he's got a team yet, does he?
The consensus is he's going to end up going back to the Cowboys just for a little less money. I don't think anyone really wants to touch him because of his injury problems. But, you know, I don't think the Cowboys really want to get rid of him. They just want him at a price that he wants. You know, and right now even Matthew Stafford's going through or has gone through the Rams wanting to renegotiate his contract. And why, if I'm Matt Stafford, why am I going to do that? You brought me in here. I got you a Super Bowl. Now you got to pay the piper.
Well, you won a Super Bowl, and then next season you didn't do very much, and then you got injured. So what makes you think I got to pay you? You see what I'm saying? That's the kind
Stafford, though, he already had the contract in place. But the Rams want to renegotiate it. And I'm like, no.
Oh,
you bought the
contract,
and you were
fine. Stafford wanted to renegotiate.
No.
Okay. I completely misunderstood. Oh, well, that makes it okay. Yeah. I mean, now the Rams want to renegotiate. Why?
They want to pay less money, and I'm just like, well, I'm not going to change my contract. You bought the contract. You knew what you were getting. And I'm going to get paid my money.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Yeah.
No, but that's why you sign a contract. And they do have rules that, and you know, if you breach your contract, meaning you do something different than what's in your contract, you can get sued. Well, I mean, in sports, sometimes it seems a little different. You know, but I mean, look, Brady used to renegotiate his contract for cap. But Brady made it up in other ways, and you know damn good and well. I mean, he wasn't hurting. Brady just wanted to win. And, you know, but that was a completely different story. But with Stafford, I mean, well, look, Stafford, I mean, this is going to be – well, I think he does have a couple more years left in him. He, I think this will be his, like, 16th or 17th year. So if he is healthy, and as far as I know, he never really had an injury problem. I don't remember him being injured very much. Do you?
Here and there. I mean, most of the time he was pretty consistently playing.
But he wasn't where, you know, oh, he got injured. Oh, really? Oh, again? He wasn't one of those. I mean, he played more than he was injured. Yeah.
I would consider him one of the more durable quarterbacks, yes.
Okay. So that was kind of a freak year, but, I mean, he is kind of getting up there in age.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, look, I mean, there's a lot of things that the Rams have intact, and it doesn't look like Cooper Kupp is going anywhere. It looks like they're going to keep him. But, I mean, if the Rams, if you think about it, all they got to do is put the same team they had when they won the Super Bowl back together, and you got a pretty good shot. I mean, there's no guarantees, but you got a pretty good shot, and you got most of the pieces still aboard. You know, why not go for it again? You know, I don't remember hearing any Rams trying to get any trades and any kind of deals and try to boost this up and boost that up. They just seem a little complacent, I guess.
Well, I do. They've got some personnel changes, and I think the problem is that this is why the Rams are renegotiating. they can't get the pieces they feel they need because their contract's eating up a lot of their budget. So that's why they want to renegotiate. And so that's where Stafford's got to make the choice. You know, do I want to try and make another run and win again and give up some money in the process? Or is that on the Rams management to start to prioritizing what they want to do?
Well, you know, if you can work it, you know, backdoor the part that you lose and you can get it, you know, later as a bonus or, you know, you can hide it somehow. You know, it might be advantageous for Stafford to do it, but for Stafford to just to take a pay cut just because these guys are just trying to bring over people instead of trying to put a team together. Yeah, I can see where Stafford could have some resistance. But, well, anyway, what is this quarterback? Is it a documentary? This Netflix called Quarterback. What is that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm about halfway through, but earlier this year they did a documentary called Full Swing, which is each episode was targeting basically the life on tour, on the PGA Tour with a golfer. So each episode was a different golfer. What they've done here is similar to the Full Swing documentary where they pick three quarterbacks they're going to follow for an entire season. And this is the last season. And the quarterbacks are Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota.
Well, wait a minute. Look, I just looked it up on Netflix, and they've got Manning, Brady, and Favre, the quarterback. Manning, Brady, and Favre. And then now this one is... It looks like Kirk Cousins. Huh.
Yeah, it's Cousins, Mahomes, and Mariota.
Oh, I see what this is. This is another of something that's related. Okay, it's related. Okay, I read it wrong. Okay, here's the quarterback. And then, yeah, okay. The title's related to the quarterbacks, Manning, Brady, and Favre. I don't know why they have that, but I don't know what that is. But, no, what year was it that they followed him? Was it last year?
Last year.
Oh, okay. That was the year that the Vikings had a very – I mean, they had one of the best records in the NFL, and everybody was like, nobody took them serious. Everybody, oh, yeah, the Vikings, oh, yeah, we know you're going to lose, you know, and what they do, they lost right away. I mean, look, I mean, that has got to be one of the best regular season teams ever in the history of NFL. But they get to the postseason, and for whatever reason, they just can't seem to get it done. What is that, though? I mean, you're a coach and you're a player. I mean, really, what do you think that really is? And look at the Bills. I mean, 4 years in a row to the Super Bowl. I mean, I've always tried to figure this out. And, you know, it's not like they didn't have the heart and the drive. I mean, what is that missing X factor that you need in a team to make you win? Like the Yankees were not supposed to win in 96. They were not supposed to beat those Braves. That was not supposed to happen. I mean, starting four pitchers are in the Hall of Fame, you know, with combined of about, what, 2.5 million wins? I mean... I don't know, but what is it? I mean, you've lost big games as a coach. Did you notice anything that was going differently with the players physically, mentally?
If I had that answer, I'd probably be making a lot more money than I do right now. But
yeah, wouldn't we all?
You know, yeah, it's
a pondering question.
Yeah, I mean, there's a combination of things. I don't think there is any singular one thing that can be identified as a difference maker. And I don't think I think it's different year to year.
Well,
you know,
team to team, absolutely, yeah.
Well, and I can only draw from my observations of watching varieties of sports over the years. You know, I mean, I was a Detroit Red Wings fan since I was 10 years old. And, you know, they drafted Steve Yzerman. And, you know, everything changed. But it did not change overnight. And it year after year, knocking on the door of the playoffs, winning a President's Cup, you know, being the top team in the league, you know, having the top players in the league, and you still couldn't get over the hump. And it just takes a couple of small pieces along the way to make that happen. A couple of changes, a coaching change, a player change. You know, there's so many elements to putting all those pieces together. I mean, there's no doubt that the Bills are extremely talented. There's no doubt that the Vikings were talented. But why does it seem to be always the Chiefs that get over the hump? You know, why was it, you know, Brady able to beat the Chiefs, you know, with the Buccaneers? And I think there's a lot of factors that go into that that no one can really pinpoint. And it's definitely a mystery.
That's the beauty
of
it.
It's a challenge for every coach to find that.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of it, because you just got to find that one team that clicks more than the – now, last year's Super Bowl – I got to admit, I really thought the way the Eagles played all season long that this was going to be, I wouldn't say a slam dunk, but they were going to play a hell of a lot better than they did. I really did not expect the Patriots to win, and it just seemed, the game just didn't seem to have that – I don't know. I guess maybe because the season before, when we had, I mean, that phenomenal, outstanding, most incredible postseason. I mean, every game decided by the last minute field goal. That we'll never see that again, Piper. Right?
Right. 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 Of course. And, you know, it's something you can't really describe. And like last season,
right,
you could easily chalk up, you know, the Eagles might have been a better team, but the Chiefs have been there before. They've won it, they've lost it, so they know what to avoid and what to do in each scenario, because they've had the Chiefs' experience getting that deep that many times. Is probably the thing that was the difference. I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles did all that much wrong. I just think the Chiefs knew that situation much better than them.
And I don't think the team was hungover, partied too much. And,
no.
I don't see that. Being lackadaisy. Maybe there was a little bit of cockiness where, you know, maybe it dabbled into the hubris and thought that they were, you know, hey, we're the Angels, we're the superstars. Well, no, you got to prove it. You got to win the game to be the superstar. And, well, that's what happened with the, remember, with the Patriots and Atlanta. Atlanta in the third quarter gave up. Middle of the third quarter, yeah, you were up by, you know, what, 27, 30 points or whatever the hell it was. And they just said, we got this game in the bag. No, you're playing the Patriots. And, yeah, what that magic was that Brady had with Belichick, and it was the magic between those two. I really got to believe that. I really strongly believe that it really was those two player and coach combination that, and again, like you talk about all the time, the culture, the atmosphere in the clubhouse, the atmosphere in the locker room, the atmosphere on, you know, that is, that really does matter. I mean, you've got a hostile environment, like you've got a hostile work environment. Do you really want to get up in the morning and go to work? Or you got a great environment, oh, man, you're up there, you're there early. You're the first guy there,
right.
You're making the coffee, and, you know, you already bought the donuts, and you're ready to go. Well.
Yep.
Well, that does happen. And, again, you've got ownership, too. Now, a lot of these players don't even know who the hell the owners are. They don't know who the ownership are. They may know who the general manager is. But after that,
right?
They don't really know. Well, if the owners and you got these guys in the inside the office that are screwing around and screwing up like they've been doing in Washington for I don't know how many years. I mean, the team suffers. Believe it or not, that team suffers. It does trickle down.
Culture thing that, you know, we talk, I said it before on the show as a coach, you know, what I learned the hard way was it wasn't just about talent. And, you know, a lot of the consensus, I heard some pretty good coaches speak at conventions and such, and it really hit home. You know, you can, one coach said, you can have one disruptive personality on a team. You can get, if they're talented enough and worth keeping, you can have one. You absolutely cannot have two. You can only have one. And it makes perfect sense as to why, because one you can control. But if that one is enabled by anyone else, then it runs rampant through your entire culture. But culture is everything. I mean, the question is, you know, how is it created and how can you sustain it? You know, like right now, you could argue that, you know, Patriots culture has not been sustained because, well,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Brady's gift to Belichick was necessarily just being a good quarterback. Brady's gift to Belichick was he was a good leader. And when the number one guy in the number one position on your team is backing the coach, that's huge. Everyone follows. And right now, I don't think they have that in New England. They've got people questioning Belichick. And he's still the same coach. He might even be a little bit smarter because he's more experienced. But there's something missing there. And
well, they've
that's
also
critical.
Got right. No, you're absolutely correct. And they're also questioning who is their starting quarterback. You know,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of them want to go with Zappy and. You know, hey, look, I mean, you can make an argument for either one of them, really. But you're right, and I do, and I think we've all seen it, that Belichick, I don't think he's lost control, but it almost seems like he has, I don't want to say gotten soft, but he's been a little too accepting of some of the stuff. I mean, look, that whole lateral crap that went on, that was absolutely ridiculous. Both of those guys should have lost their job, not just the one. They both screwed up. I mean, that's just dumb football. I mean, that's just being dumb. And Belichick never put up with that. And a kicker, you miss a kick, you're done. You're out. A long snapper, oh, you oversnapped? Oh, you're done. You're out. And everybody knew it. So you didn't see a lot of mistakes. That's one thing that you didn't really see a lot of, you know, really stupid mistakes on that team. Okay, maybe they got beat. Well, they got beat because they just got beat. But it wasn't because they were doing stupid things. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's how you lose. And they, you know, they just got beat. But I don't know what it is. And, you know, Belichick, I don't know. I'd like to see him start, you know, swinging the hammer a little more. Because I love that dynasty. That was a great – I don't think we're ever going to see a football dynasty that went that long. Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
That is – you know what I'm saying? I mean, there is not – I mean, you can talk about your Cowboys, America's team. You can talk about your Steelers. You can talk about your Raiders. You can talk about your Chiefs. But there's no way you can't dismiss this dynasty. This is, I mean, I know football, you can't equate football and baseball, but I think you right now you got to put the Patriots up there with, I mean, the Yankees, 27 world champions, more than anybody ever. And the Cardinals are second place, and they're not even close. So. No, well, you know, maybe the dynasty is just over, and maybe. But, I mean, Belichick doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would just hang on. But, I mean, he is getting up there in age. I mean, he's 70 what? He's got to be. Close to 80.
I'm going to double check. I thought he was.
He's got to be 70.
Or lower 70s. I mean, he's been around ever.
Pete Carroll is the oldest, and I think he's like 77.
Yeah,
but Belichick has got to be at least in his 70s by now. But
71.
Okay. He just seems like he's been around because I remember when he was with Cleveland, and I remember Monday Night Football.
Well, before that, he was with Parcells and the
York
Giants.
Yep, he was with the Giants. That's where he kind of really made his name for himself. And then with the Jets, it was kind of weird because Parcells was over there. They were getting rid of Parcells, and Belichick was over there with the Jets. He became the interim head coach, or not the interim, but he was hired as the head coach. He never played a game, but he was a head coach for the Jets twice and never played one game. I can't remember it. But it is weird. He was the head coach of the Jets twice, back and forth, and they never played one. He never played one game as a head coach with the Jets. And then I think it was shortly after that is when he was hired to the Patriots.
Yep. Well, yeah, he was temporarily with the Jets. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think he went over there with Parcells. I mean, after when Parcells retired and then he came back like, what, a year or two after or something like that? And then he came to the Jets, and that was a disaster. And they was going back and forth, and Parcells was going to go into I don't know, general manager, or he was going into some kind of head office job. Who knows? But, well, nobody could do anything with Cleveland. We're talking about those things that these teams can't win. I mean, the Lions and the Browns, I mean, they haven't even come. They haven't even come close. It's got to be And they have changed. How many times have they changed owners? How many times have they changed coaches? How many times? I mean, the Browns have had more quarterbacks in I think, the history of the NFL.
Oh.
And even
that was new management. Yeah, they have very little stability.
But see, they have very little stability. Well, they went from the original team went to Baltimore, and they won. Well, then a new ownership came up and bought the Browns. And they were like, well, we got to keep up tradition. Let's make sure we pick the worst draft picks. We'll screw everything up.
Well, clearly it's a management issue. There's, like I said, there's a lot of factors that go into it. It's not just talent. It's, talent assessment. It's, building a culture. And, I think that's where, you have to give credit where credit's due. And, Bill Belichick won year after year because he had the right culture. He had the right people. He had guys like Teddy Bruschi backing him up. He had, Brady backing him up. He had, the right key people in the locker room. And
well, he also had ownership backing him up. Because look, when he was in Cleveland, you
just
got the same man.
Yeah.
You got the same man in Cleveland and couldn't get nothing done. And then he goes to Patriots and look what he did. So, yeah, I do believe it starts at the top. And it's a big, long chain. It goes from the top to the bottom. Now, if the bottom is screwing up, well, yeah, it trickles up and it trickles down. If something is screwing up in the middle, it will trickle up and trickle down and really screw everything up.
So,
but, well, the funny thing is, I'm hearing rumors that the Belichick seat is actually starting to get warm, and I think the thing I'm going to say to that is, if Bill Belichick's seat is getting hot for the last couple of years, why are we not talking about Mike Tomlin? Why is his seat not hot?
Well, because you set such a high standard of constantly winning. And then when you have a mediocre season, everybody thinks you're washed up and a loser. Because you have set that precedent so high. You see what I'm saying? The expectations are that that was very difficult for the Yankees to, their expectations were to win. And then when they lose to the Red Sox in Yankee Stadium, that hurt. That was pain, physical pain. So, sports is funny. You can't figure it out. It just is what it is. It's real life theater. I mean, it is. It's theater, but it's life. It's real life. It's improv. Nobody knows what's going to happen next.
Right.
Yeah, you got a game plan. Well,
right.
Good for you. Yeah, I know we've said this before, but Mike Tyson said it best. Yeah, you come in with a game plan. Yeah, that's great. But when you get punched in the face, your game plan goes out, right out the friggin' window.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Well, we've seen it because we've seen these two teams come out, and then you see, a direct hit, like somebody broke through their line and ran through it and, got a 40-yard, whatever. And they're like, oh, wow, okay. And then you do it again. So they got stunned a little bit. So, yeah. And momentum is everything in sports. We've seen a team be up by a million, and then all it takes is, one single, one walk, one first down, anything like that. And
Yeah, I've seen it happen too many times as a coach. There's critical things at critical moments where if the worst possible mistake you could make happens almost every time to get you. It's almost like a time bomb, you know. Once you trigger it, it's going to blow up. It's just a question of when.
Well, Yogi Berra said it best. Two things. One, it ain't over till it's over. And that is true. We've seen that a million times. If you got time on the clock, the game is still playing. What was the other one? What were you talking about? Real quick, I just lost my train of thought by accident.
The Yogi Berra quote.
No, what you were talking about, because I'll get my quote in my head when I hear what you were saying.
No, I was just talking about the critical errors that happen at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Inevitably comes back to get you, yeah.
Well, one of his quotes was, he said, what happened there today, because, you know, after this loss? And he says, well, we made too many wrong mistakes. Now, that a lot of people may go, wrong mistakes, that's, you know, but think about it. If you make a mistake in the first inning and there's nobody on base and nothing happens, okay, well, that's not a wrong mistake. It's a mistake. But when you make the wrong mistake like Buckner did and allow, you know, the ball to go right through him and you lose the game, that's a wrong mistake. You see what I'm saying? So,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah, there are times where, yeah, you can make all the mistakes in the world, but you make them at the wrong time, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah, the wrong time or the wrong time, yeah. Yep.
And sometimes there's nothing you can do.
A lot of truth to that.
Well, sometimes there's nothing you can do. I mean, in baseball, you get a Baltimore chop. The ball bounces. There's nothing. You can't control the bounce. You can't control that. How are you going to control that? Like, say, even in football, we've seen where the wind has picked up a ball that has been thrown, and, you know, the ball has just... you can't control that. You can't control nature. And that's why I really wish all sports should be played outside, under the elements. You got to deal with the elements. If you don't like the elements, that's a win. So.
Yeah, I do like a wild card factor of the elements. Something to be said for that, you know, like every NASCAR race has a different element. Every, you know, baseball game has a different element. It's gotten so much about bringing fans in and less about the game that they have to have comfort and, you know, control the elements in the facility and so on. And yeah, I think you lose something.
Well, this is going to be, again... this season, there is a lot of question marks for me. I've got a lot of questions. And, of course, you always do at the beginning of the season. But there's a lot of teams that have a lot of expectations. But there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to have a broken heart because y'all can't win. And... Well, right now, I would have to say Dallas. The Giants, I think last year was a little bit of a fluke. I think they accidentally overachieved. I don't see them coming close to repeating. But, I mean, hey, who knows? I mean, if you get rid of Barkley, maybe Barkley was, you know, a problem in the locker room. Loudmouth, you know, like Tiki Barber was. They got rid of him, and what did they do the next year? They won the Super Bowl, and they beat Tom Brady and the mighty Patriots. So, you know, sometimes it does pay to get rid of. I mean, Viper, you, and in all the teams you've coached, I mean, you've come across that one, I don't want to call it a problem child, but that, you know, because, I mean, bad energy spreads just as fast as good energy. You know, I mean, what do you do with a player like that, though, that you know is a cancer in the locker room? What do you, I mean, how do you handle that? What do you do?
Well, I mean, the problem is with which player is it? You know, if it's a critical player, that's something that's got to be addressed. And it's something that, you know, surrounding players have to be coached through and guided through on how to handle and manage that so it doesn't spiral out of control. You know, there's a limit what you can and can't do other than, you know, addition by subtraction. I mean, really, all those situations end up being that. You either have to do addition by subtraction to get rid of the problem, or it's just going to probably going to keep continuing. Because very rarely in short time spans do people make significant changes. And when players and athletes are problematic, that doesn't change overnight. I mean, look at Antoine Brown. You know, why did he walk out of Tampa Bay the way he did? Well, that's always been his MO. That's always been his deal. He's never been wrapped all that tight. Have we ever seen him change? Have we ever seen him or a player like him turn the corner and magically become normal? No, we don't.
Well, you know, I've noticed, you know, being in the theater, and, you know, some people that have, you know, you got some talent, but when, for whatever reason, I think it is more insecurity and they're upset at themselves because they're not performing at the level that they know they should or they could or whatever. And I've seen that in the theater, and sometimes I've seen that with athletes. It's like, okay, you had a bad game. It's not everybody. Danica Patrick was a perfect example. It was everybody else's fault why she could never control her race car. And we, you know, Antonio Brown. Well, we saw that with him. And, you know, okay, well, you're not performing at the level that you want to. Well, don't blame everybody else around you. You got to blame yourself. Catch the damn ball. You know, I mean, well, there's a lot of insecurities in sports, and there's a lot of prima donnas in sports and in theater. Theater and sports, I have noticed there are so many different similarities between sports and theater. Well, life, you can, there are how many life lessons are there in sports? You being a coach and a player, Viper. I mean, you can't count them all, right?
No, hundreds, thousands. That's
millions. You get new ones all the time.
You know, it's, you know, to answer that question about that player, that's a problem. Whatever. But look, the bottom line is this: you know, it's the home plate is 17 inches wide. The basketball rim is 10 feet high. Football field 100 yards long. None of those things change. None of those things will ever change. And you can't bend the environment to fit the person. And that's, I think, where a lot of people make mistakes. Is when you, if the plate is too wide, you can't just shrink it because someone wants a less wide, because someone can't swing their bat and the strike zone is that big.
Right.
You just can't. You can't make those shifts. There's certain things that are non-negotiable, and that's the problem. Is that things have become too negotiable in a lot of scenarios. And, you know, it's all the wrong stuff, you know, and that's...
Well, the pros
so at some point in time, the environment has got to be
non-negotiable. Yeah, but in the pros, it's different because you're dealing with... Not only you're dealing with prima donna, but you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars. So it's unfortunate, but it makes it a very delicate, you know, and it shouldn't be. I mean, in the 60s and 70s, hey, here's your paycheck. This is what you get paid. Oh, you don't like it? Oh, okay. Hey, Johnny, yeah, you right over there. Yeah, the rookie. Yeah, you're up. That's how it used to be. But now, oh, my God, we got a player that's having a problem. Well, let's stop the world. Stop it. We can't have the world still on its axis until this problem is resolved. And that's a little bit, you know, I think they cater too much to these guys. And now these guys are getting $50 million a year? That is ridiculous. I mean, that's too much. I mean, when is enough is enough? Well, I think enough is enough. $50 million a year, God bless you, but Jiminy Christmas, you're killing the game. That's greed. That's wrong. But that's me. But, I mean, $50 million a year?
Yeah, and I think that might be part of the problem. You know, we talked about it before with Gruden. And what happened with the Raiders. You know, that's unfortunately kind of where things have gone, where, you know, and you could argue the same thing with Belichick. There are certain things that you just don't compromise. And I think we've gotten to a point where there's compromise on everything with the athletes, because it is about the money. It's a lot of money. And if you don't have good athletes, then you're not gonna put anyone in seats, and that's, you know, that you shift that to even with the college sports and the name, image, likeness problem. I mean, they're trying.